This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
It's a solo act today. T-Tote is off visiting the grandchildren, and David is in, Sedalia, Missouri for the Easter holiday, and that's kind of central portion of the state. There was some sort of, apparently according to John Michael Marty, a Woodstock-style concert there decades ago that basically wrecked the town and left it smelling a little sewagey, but that's where David's at now. Surely the odor has passed by now. So we'll have a bit of an abbreviated Sports Saturday show for you this morning here on this holiday weekend. Of course, a lot going on. Softball and baseball for high school in full swing. Girls soccer is going as well. You've got the NCAA tournament. The Elite Eight is set. We'll know the Final Four by tomorrow evening. And Major League Baseball is getting to be about a week away from the season opener, as that'll be a week from tomorrow, and it will involve the Cardinals. They'll be playing the Pittsburgh Pirates at PNC Park to open the 2016 Major League Baseball season. Live coverage on April the 3rd at 11:10 on WSMI AM 1540 and FM 106.9, with all 162 regular season games this year on AM 1540 and FM 106.9. Let's run down a few of the high school scores from yesterday for you. We will start with high school softball, a great game between Pawnee and Litchfield yesterday. It took 9 innings, and Pawnee upends Litchfield 8-7. Maggie Galloway had the RBI game-winning double in the bottom of the ninth for the Pawnee Indians as they beat Litchfield 8-7. Litchfield's hurler Tessa Beckman fanned 18 in the loss for the Purple Panthers. Auburn took care of Carlinville yesterday 13-4. North Mac shut out Lanphier 5-0 behind Hannah Tomasco's 12 strikeouts. Hannah allowed just one hit in the win for North Mac. Athens got past Midwest Central 10-7. Williamsville beat Lincoln 2-1. Sullivan, a 10-run win over Pena 15-5. Stanford Olympia beat Pleasant Plains 11-8. Clinton shut out Marrora Forsyth 8-0. And Calhoun, they shut out Barry Western 7-0. Of course, Calhoun, the defending 1A state softball champions, and they're also the defending basketball champions as well. And was it Grace Ballman? I think it's Grace, or maybe it's Emma. One of them, elite pitcher, going to Kentucky for softball. And just a junior is the Ballman going to Kentucky. I think it's Emma Ballman going to Kentucky, just a junior. Grace Ballman, volleyball, I believe, is her best sport, and she's going D1 in that. Just an impressive run of Ballman talent for Calhoun as they won the state softball tournament last year, got second in the basketball tournament last year, won the basketball tournament this year, and also last year, I think they didn't win the volleyball tournament. They played in the championship 2 years ago for that. So a very good run for Calhoun here over the last two-plus seasons as they picked up a win yesterday over Barry Western. As far as baseball goes, yesterday, Pleasant Plains, good win over Rochester 3-2. Southeast beat Buffalo Tri-City 8-3. Porta over Havana 7-6. And then down in Georgia, the perfect game, Rawlings Classic, a big national invite. Edwardsville down there, they lost yesterday to Merritt Island out of Florida 2-1. Couple of girls' soccer scores from yesterday. Greenville blanked Trenton Westland 4-0, and North Mac shut out Jerseyville 5-0. There were a couple of notes in high school basketball this week. The big one locally, Kyle Weber moving from Riverton to Pleasant Plains. That will be made official at the Plains School Board meeting tomorrow. Of course, Weber spent the last 8 years at Riverton, guided the Hawks to some big wins over his tenure. They upset Plains in a sectional a couple of years ago over at Beardstown. I remember Kyle Weber's reign at Riverton for their time at the Carlinville Holiday Tournament a few years ago when they got out their last year. They won that tournament in the championship game. They beat Litchfield. They went the length of the floor like in 5 seconds, got a layup at the horn, and beat the Panthers by one in their final appearance at the Carlinville Holiday Tournament. But I remember talking to Kyle Weber after that championship, and just a very impressive young coach. Of course, played for King Crawford at T-Town, and now he will replace Cliff Cameron at Pleasant Plains in that powerful basketball program. So best of luck to Kyle Weber as he is now the new head basketball coach at Pleasant Plains. The other basketball note involves Jerry Wilson. He was the Havana girls coach the last 14 years, head coach 28 years at the high school level, and Jerry is retiring after the season. Of course, his Havana Ducks, they beat the top-ranked Southwestern Piassaw Birds in that sectional semifinal over at Beardstown earlier in the year. So for Jerry Wilson, he will retire. And of course, Jerry's son, TJ, the longtime head coach at North Mac, and before that, Gerard. So basketball in the blood for the Wilsons, and congratulations to Jerry Wilson on an outstanding high school coaching career. And he will retire, and I don't know, maybe we'll start to see Jerry in the stands at North Mac's games, because TJ was following, of course, Savannah through their postseason run, seeing him over at Beardstown cheering on his dad. To me, I always find that to be a neat sight when you see guys who have been coaches for a long time, when they then sit in the stands, if they have a rooted interest in the game, whether it be a child playing or in this case a father coaching, it's always neat to watch their emotions and just the different aspect of, you know, when you're watching the game, you have no control. And obviously as a head coach, you have all sorts of control. So when you get into that situation, when you're sitting in the stands, it can be an interesting spot, to say the least. But congratulations to Jerry Wilson on an outstanding high school career. And basketball season, the longest season, spans the two semesters, and it'll be here again before we know it. And congratulations to Kyle Weber, off to Plains. Congratulations to Jerry Wilson, stepping down after 28 years as a high school basketball coach. We will have Cardinal baseball on the radio today. Redbirds playing the Nationals live at 11:45 on AM 1540 and FM 106.9. Just a couple of games left for the Redbirds down in spring training, with opening day set a week from tomorrow. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We will come back with more following these messages. We are back here on WSMI Sports Saturday. Cardinal baseball coming up this morning live at 11:45 on AM 1540 and FM 106.9. Redbirds playing the Nationals today. The Marlins tomorrow with live coverage on Easter Sunday, 11:45 on AM 1540 and FM 106.9. And then a week from tomorrow, opening day in Pittsburgh. And we'll have that game for you live at 11:10. On AM 1540 and FM 106.9, April the 3rd, the season opener for the Cardinals coming up in all 162 games. And hopefully the postseason will be heard on WSMI AM 1540 and FM 106.9. And it's always tough to get a read on clubs in spring training, on good clubs, because they're not worried about winning the game. Everyone is working on individual things to get themselves ready to go for the regular season. But overall, the Cardinals, the pitching, the ERA numbers are elevated. Now, you can't really read too much into it, but the facts are the facts, that Wainwright's ERA is north of 4. Waka's ERA is north of 5. Seth Maness's ERA, I think, is over 9. Now, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. I mean, we know that Adam Wainwright does not really concern himself with spring training. He is definitely working on things. You hear the quotes from Michael Walk. He says the same thing. They're not really concerned about the results. They're fine-tuning pitches, working on other aspects. So it'll be a different story for the Cardinals a week from tomorrow, whenever Waino toes the hill at PNC Park. And you can just look over the years, the teams that wind up, you know, quote-unquote, winning spring training, usually their seasons are over by about the All-Star break. So the Cardinals, 5 straight years in the playoffs, and you look at them on paper, just on paper, and we know what that's worth, not a whole heck of a lot, but they've upgraded at some key positions, probably first base being the exception, but the addition of Jerko, you replace Jerko with Cosma in theory, backup middle infielders, that's a net gain for the Cardinals. You're going to have a Brandon Moss or a Matt Adams, or maybe potentially both, coming off the bench as left-handed power options. So that is certainly an upgrade from the power they had on the bench last year. And then pitching-wise, yes, you lost John Lackey, you lost Lance Lynn, but you get Adam Wainwright back, and you signed Mike Leake. And Mike Leake is a type of player, he's going to be very good for the St. Louis Cardinals. His numbers, they may not jump off the page at you. Not real flashy, not going to get a lot of strikeouts, but what he is going to do is he's going to get outs and he's going to eat up innings. And that is what the Cardinals will need more than anything out of their starters this year, to try to ease some of those innings and burden off the bullpen, which has been severely and significantly upgraded since last year as well. They've got a lot of back-end relievers lined up in their bullpen. Of course, Rosenthal set to be the closer despite his wishes to be a starter. Can't blame him for that, I suppose. A lot more money to be made if you're a starter than a closer. But for this Cardinal team, he's going to be a closer for the foreseeable future. He may well leave the Cardinals as a free agent and pursue a starting opportunity, but for the St. Louis Cardinals, especially in 2016, you've got Trevor Rosenthal, one of the best closers in all of baseball, to lock down the ninth inning. And of course, the problem last year was it was Segrist, it was Maness, it was Rosenthal, and that was it. That's the only group of relievers that Matheny felt comfortable using in close games, and the offense was so bad they played nothing but close games. This year, though, you got Jonathan Broxton for a full year. Obviously, he's not what he was, say, when he was closing games out for the Dodgers, but he's still an experienced power arm that you can put in the late innings of a ball game and feel confident. Jordan Walden, I guess, is going to be back. I don't have a lot of confidence in him actually staying healthy with his shoulder issue. And remember, he's got that funky delivery where he actually has both feet off the ground before he releases the ball. And I don't claim to be any sort of pitching coach or expert in mechanics, but I would sure think that would be awfully hard on the shoulder to be throwing the baseball with both your feet off the ground. But he was scratched yesterday with a lat issue, but he is projected to be healthy and be in the bullpen at the start of the year. So you got Broxton, you've got the new guy they got from Korea. His nickname's the Final Boss. He was closing games out for the Korean League, so he's got experience at back end of games, not in Major League Baseball, of course, so that will be something to watch as the season moves along. And then, of course, you've got Segrist still lined up ready to go. So the Cardinals should be set in terms of their bullpen, but every year the bullpen is always the most sporadic thing for any Major League club. You can think that your bullpen is solid, and then a couple of guys have off years, and it is not. So it'll be very interesting to see how the Cardinals can roll here in the early part of the year. For the Cubs, they are nothing if not entertaining and loose. They had baby Cubs, little Cub Bears in camp yesterday. That goes with the mimes and the magicians and everything else they've had. Eventually, the Cubs are going to have to break camp and go play baseball. And they better get off to a good start, because if the Cubs get off to a slow start with the spring that they've had filled of, and believe me, if they get off to a slow start, these things they're doing won't be cute. They will be referred to as distractions. So for the Cubs, you better get off to a good start in April if you don't want to have your manager up there answering all sorts of questions about if they were prepared coming out of spring training. All sorts of talent on the Cubs. I would be concerned about the Cubs' bullpen if I was a Cubby fan. They're rolling with Trevor Cahill, Travis Wood, that's spotty to me. They were good last year, but you're expecting and anticipating those guys to replicate their success again this year. That could prove to be a bit of a problem for the Cubs. They've got Rondon on the back end. He gets the job done, not exactly a lights out, shut down closer. We all know about Pedro Strop. When he faces the Cardinals, he gives up home runs no matter who's in the batter's box with the birds on the bat on the front of the jersey. Cubs, though, odds-on favorite, obviously, to win the World Series, but it's been an interesting spring for them, to say the least. Every single day, it's something else coming out of there, where Madden's arriving in, like, the Scooby-Doo hippie van, if they're printing up their T-shirts. Whatever. To each their own, you got to have fun. And if you win, it's great. But if they don't win this year, they will not be able to do all of this stuff in spring training next year. When you're the favorite, it's a little different of a situation. I can't wait for Major League Baseball. The real games start a week from tomorrow. Cards in Pittsburgh will have it live at 11:10 on AM 1540 and FM 106.9. Of course, going on tonight or today, the Elite Eight gets underway in the NCAA basketball tournament. And the two Elite Eight games today are sensational matchups. You've got the top seed and the second seed in both of these regions squaring off today in the Elite Eight. In a college basketball season that saw multiple number one teams lose throughout the year, a tournament that saw the most double-digit seeds win ever on the first 2 days, you've got a situation with all four one seeds in the Elite Eight. And for the second time, potentially ever you could have all four one seeds in the Final Four. That happened the one and only time back in 2008. Kansas won the championship that year in a great overtime win over Memphis. But Memphis actually had to vacate all those wins in that tournament that year because of that might have been the Derrick Rose issue where he wasn't exactly eligible to play because of an ACT or SAT testing issue. So Calipari had to vacate all that. So I guess technically speaking, as far as the record books are concerned, it's never happened since Memphis had to vacate that 08 season. You've got Kansas and Villanova in the South Region Final in Louisville. Kansas, of course, the nation's number one ranked team. Villanova spent a few weeks ranked at the top of the national rankings earlier this year as well. And Villanova has, in a lot of ways, been the most impressive team in the tournament so far. They have not been challenged. They've been up over 80 points in all three of their ball games, and they absolutely throttled a very good athletic Miami team in the Sweet 16. And, of course, Jalen Brunson, he's from Lincolnshire Stephenson up around the Chicago area, McDonald's All-American, true freshman starting for this Villanova squad. And it pains Illini fans to say it, Illinois was his second choice. That's kind of been the story for John Gross here the last few years. He has been in the final running for a lot of high-level recruits, just has not been able to land one on campus in Champaign as he came up as the bridesmaid to Jalen Brunson. But that is a very interesting game. Kansas, kind of the trendy, popular pick among a lot of brackets and a lot of folks out in Vegas to win the tournament. And you can't argue they've got probably the deepest, most talented team. But it's not the deepest, most talented team that always wins. It's the hottest team. And boy, Villanova is playing some sensational basketball right now. The thing that would concern me is they shot so well against Miami the other night. Will they be able to replicate the shooting performance against Kansas today? That will be absolutely vital if Villanova wants to move on to the Final Four. The other Elite Eight matchup today also has one seed and two seed squaring off. Oregon, the top seed out west, they will take on Buddy Hield and second seeded Oklahoma for the right to play in the Final Four. Oklahoma and Mr. Hield, they are a lot of fun to watch. And the Oregon Ducks, goodness gracious, high-flying Oregon. They put it to Duke the other night in the Sweet 16. That was not a contest at all. Duke was overmatched and basically got run out of the gym by the Oregon Ducks. And that's an interesting ball game. You've got, it's hard to imagine the year that Oklahoma's had. Now, Buddy Hield is going to be denied a trip to the Final Four. And potentially, if Kansas and Oklahoma can both win, it would set up another meeting in the national semifinals a week from today. If you remember, the first time those teams squared off, they were first and second in the country, respectively. They went three overtimes, and Kansas got the win. So we'll keep our fingers crossed. At least I will keep my fingers crossed that we get a Kansas-Oklahoma Final Four, just because that would be an epic all-time ball game. On the other side of the bracket, the Elite Eight games will be played on Sunday, and it's going to be an ACC affair. Both regional finals tomorrow will be all ACC. Virginia is going to be playing Syracuse in the regional final in Chicago. No, that'll be in Philadelphia, I think. I've lost track where they're at, but Virginia is playing Syracuse, and then North Carolina is going to play Notre Dame in the regional final there. So those will be obviously rematch games, as Virginia and Syracuse played back in, I think, January. Virginia beat the Cuse 73-65. That game will be played in Chicago on Sunday. And if you remember, of course, Syracuse got off to a bit of a strange start this year with Jim Boeheim being suspended for a few recruiting violations over the last few years. But the Cuse has really found their stride here, and they will look to punch their ticket into the Final Four. And boy, would that be improbable, as on Selection Sunday, they were kind of the team that was getting lambasted the most for not deserving to be in the tournament. And it seems to happen every year. The team that everyone says they have no business in the tournament, they usually wind up winning a couple of games at least. And now Syracuse is one win away from the Final Four. The other matchup will have North Carolina and Notre Dame. North Carolina crushed Indiana last night, 101-86, put 101 on the Hoosiers last night. And for North Carolina and Notre Dame, this will be the rubber match. They've met twice already. The regular season matchup in January went to Notre Dame. And then in the ACC tournament, the Heels and the Irish squared off in a 31-point drubbing by North Carolina as they beat down Notre Dame back on March the 11th. And they will get a rematch today. The winner, of course, on to the Final Four. All year long, it was the Big 12 and the ACC. So maybe it would be appropriate if you got an all Big 12 national semifinal on one side, and you know you're going to have an all ACC national semifinal on the other side of the bracket. It's just a matter of who it's going to be. The ACC put six teams into the Sweet 16. Notre Dame and Miami lost on Thursday, and then the ACC runs the gauntlet last night. They go 4-0 in the Sweet 16 to set up two all ACC finals. And I read something that is going to be very profitable for the Atlantic Coast Conference with guaranteed four teams in the Elite Eight like they have. It's going to be like $40 million to the Atlantic Coast Conference. And then, of course, they're going to have two teams in the Final Four, so that'll mean even more money. And what I think is just a cash cow, that NCAA tournament. It's coming where the athletes themselves are going to get a little money for their troubles. Billions of dollars being made on this NCAA tournament. Lots of people lining their pockets. Big, big games today. Kansas, Villanova, and then you've got Oregon and Oklahoma, and half the Final Four will be set after today. We need a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back in a moment. There was nothing sunny and gorgeous with the United States men's national soccer team yesterday. Laid, well, an egg, pun intended, against Guatemala, losing to Guatemala for the first time since January of 1988. It was a 2-0 loss in Guatemala City, and evidently the Americans' defense self-destructed in the 2018 World Cup qualifier, and now they are in trouble. They may actually not qualify for the World Cup, but I don't claim to be a soccer expert by any stretch, but it does seem with every single World Cup qualifier, the sky is always falling. If you lose one World Cup qualifier, you're in danger of missing the World Cup in its entirety. And maybe the Americans will wind up missing the World Cup. That would really be very disappointing and quite surprising, but we'll see. They've put themselves behind the eight ball, though, with a loss last night to Guatemala 2-0. In the NHL last night, the Blues clinched a playoff spot. They've got 97 points lined up here as they are tied with Dallas for the Central Division lead, and the Blues peaking here at the right time, perhaps, as they will try to win their first Stanley Cup in franchise history. And the issue for the Blues, of course, over the years in the playoffs has always been the goaltending. Yeah, they don't score a lot of goals, but it's all about goaltending in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And Brian Elliott is on fire right now. Three consecutive shutouts, including a 4-0 win over Vancouver last night. And so we'll see if the Blues can keep it rolling here. And the Blues can be so frustrating. They really can, because they're always good. They're always one of the better teams in the league. They always are up there with the point totals. But it just always seems that something happens to the Blues when they get close to the playoffs or into the playoffs. And more times than not, it's an injury late in the year to a key scorer. And then they get in the playoffs and their goalies just don't show up. That to me has always been the problem with the Blues in the playoffs. And I always go back to when I was in high school, the year that they had Wayne Gretzky. I don't remember what it was, 97 or 98, right around there, late 90s when they got Gretzky. And that was during a powerful run for the Blues. Of course, the heyday of the Red Wings as well. But the Blues, Game 7 in Detroit, overtime, Grant Fuhr gives up a blue line goal, and that's how their season ends. And that, to me, just kind of sums up the Blues. They will just break your heart if you let them. Maybe this year will be different. It's the year of the Cubs in baseball. Maybe it's the year for the Blues in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And I imagine St. Louis fans, I don't know this, would they trade a Blues Stanley Cup if the trade-off was the Cubs would win the World Series? I would think they would. A lot of die-hard hockey fans down in St. Louis would love to see the Blues win the Stanley Cup. It could always be worse, though. It really could. If you're a Blues fan, you could be a Capitals fan. That would be a disgusting proposition. They make the Blues look successful in the playoffs with the choke jobs they've laid down in the postseason over the last few years. Washington, though, going to probably win the President's Trophy this year. They have 111 points, and they play the Blues tonight. They can clinch the President's Trophy, can the Capitals, with 1 point against the Blues, or if Dallas, who plays earlier in the day, loses, then the Capitals will have clinched the President's Trophy before they play the Blues tonight. Interesting to see. It's 46 degrees right now. Winds coming from the southeast at 7 miles an hour, and that's going to wrap up Sports Saturday here. We're going to shut it down a little early here on this holiday weekend. Of course, we'll have Cardinal baseball coming up at 11:45 this morning. They play the Nationals today live at 11:45 AM 1540 FM 106.9. We'll have the Cardinals back tomorrow playing the Marlins again, 11:45 with the live coverage, AM 1540, FM 106.9. And then tomorrow's broadcast will be the final spring training broadcast as the regular season opener for the Redbirds is a week from tomorrow. And we'll have it from Pittsburgh live at 11:10, April the 3rd on WSMI AM 1540 and on FM 106.9. Let's run down the high school scores one more time for you before we get out of here on Sports Saturday. In softball yesterday, Pawnee beat Litchfield 8-7. Maggie Galloway, the game-winning RBI double in the bottom of the ninth for Pawnee. Auburn beat Carlinville 13-4. North Mack over Lanphier 5-0. Hannah Tomasco struck out 12, allowing just one base hit. Athens beat Midwest Central 10-7. Williamsville over Lincoln 2-1. Sullivan beat Pena 15-5. Stanford Olympia over Pleasant Plains 11-8. Clinton shut out Maroor Forsyth 8-0. And Calhoun blanked Berry Western 7-0. In baseball action yesterday, Plains beat Rochester 3-2. Down in Georgia at the Perfect Game Rawlings Classic, Edwardsville fell to Merritt Island, Florida 2-1. Southeast beat Buffalo Tri-City 8-3. And Porta over Havana, 7-6. Couple of girls' soccer scores to report. Greenville beat Trenton Westland 4-0, and North Mac over Jerseyville 5-0.